This way, see you folks again. It's been a few years, but I enjoyed being here then and just glad to be back. I want to tell you a little something happened yesterday just to, because I think it ought to be told. I was in the quick stop there in Swainsboro. Buying gas to get ready to come up here. And there was a conversation going on. A fellow was telling me about a conversation, rather. And the brother that was working in there, he grew up around Old Baptist some and still goes some, comes out to Union some, different places around. But, you know, he probably goes to some other order more than he does in our churches. But anyway, he got to tell me about a conversation he had had with some other old Baptist down there. And first they talked about a brother who's starting to speak some in our churches around home and doing a real good job. And one of them said to the other one, and I forget, you know, which one was which in the story, that's not important. He said, you know, that brother's, he's coming along, he's going to be real good. Other one said, yeah, he will be. And then one of them said, and Harry Martin's boy, he's going to be good too. And he said, and the other one said, he's done good. So, you do have an able minister and a preacher. We always enjoy Brother Will being down our way and appreciate your kindness you show to him. And just we've got a wonderful blessing here that we should be thankful for. I take my text, the 32nd chapter, the book of Isaiah, the first and second verses of that chapter. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. I want to talk to you a little bit, the Lord being my helper, about a man. We all have ideas what a man is. Society has some mixed up ideas about a man, but there's still some things that kind of run it pretty much in everybody's idea of what a man is. You may have seen this on the news, or it got real popular on YouTube several years ago. But there's a young man and his girlfriend at a professional baseball game. Baseball was coming toward the girl. The boy got up to act it as if he was going to catch the baseball to keep it from hitting the girl. And just before it got to his hands, he bailed and backed up, and the ball hit the girl. And of course, it was on a lot of cameras, and it got showed in a lot of places. And even in our liberal world, people were talking about how he was not a man. He didn't do what he ought to. And I guess I agree with him. I do agree with him. He just wimped out. He bailed. Not a man. But I want to talk to you about a man that'll never bail. You know, here this man's mentioned as a hiding place. We need a man that's a hiding place. My daddy was a big man. Imagine that. He's not quite as tall as I am, but he's a little bit bigger around than I am. And I remember one time when I was just a little fella, that there in the country Missionary Baptist Church that our family went to, they decided to lower the ceiling in the meeting house. Most all those old meeting houses used to have real high ceilings to help keep it cooler in the summertime and so forth. And so they're making this change, you know, and lowering the ceiling. But they picked the coldest day of the year for the ceiling to be gone in the meeting house. And it was bitter cold down there. And somehow Daddy got away with wearing an old work coat that my grandmother had made him out of a woolen army surplus blanket. And I remember getting it with Daddy under that wool coat in that cold building. And I felt like I was in a hiding place. I was warm, felt protected, and there ought to be some of that kind of stuff in a child's life. I'm thankful for it. But as time went on, I got in places that were bad enough that Daddy just wasn't big enough to be a hiding place anymore. And I came to the place where I looked back and I saw that I was born into a situation that Daddy wasn't big enough to be a hiding place for. But the man I want to talk to you about tonight, he's big enough, has enough power, and enough compassion, mercy, and understanding that one of his little children will never get into a place where he can't be a hiding place for his children. It talks about a covert from the tempest. Had Daddy lived, he'd have been 102 this year, and Mama would have been 100 in a few days had she lived. And they'd been gone, Daddy, about 20 years. But I'm saying this to tell you that, you know, I came along late in life for them, and that's not a bad position, you know, have all those older brothers and sisters, all that. But the situation that leaves you in, you got all these siblings that are old people, you know. And so I got a sister that's a whole lot older than I am. And don't you tell her that I came up here and told that either. But she was in my house the other day, and she's there pretty regularly. But she's talking about when the older children went to school in Twin City. The rest of us went to school in Portal. But said the bus put them off one afternoon, and it came up one of those real, real quick thunderclaps. Just bad weather, thunder, some hail, lightning. And they found an old, what we call a sewage pipe. It's not that, it's what we call a sewage pipe. That means it's a big pipe that goes under a dirt road in the country. So they found one of those and got under in that pipe to hide till the storm passed by. And she was telling me that, you know, they were down there and Daddy came up in a mule and wagon to get them and take them home, you know. Well, that's a good example of there being a tempest and you needing a place to be protected from it. Daddy was there to help as soon as he could get there, but you can't get there too fast with a mule and wagon. So he was limited. But for those little children to have been protected through that fast storm that came up like that, I believe this other man was there watching over them. And there never will be a tempest that's too big for this man to handle. One time, he was out on the sea, and the storm was raging. The disciples were afraid. And the Lord spake to the raging ocean and said, "Peace be still." And I believe that that was as slick as glass when he spoke that. Yeah. I don't believe there's a ripple out there. And I don't believe it took long for it to get in that position. Because a man said, "Peace be still." This man is as rivers of water in a dry place. What a wonderful thing it is to have water when you need it. There's a fellow at home that I grew up with, and I wasn't around Old Baptist then, but I remember him telling the story about going to Old Canoochee, where Brother Will's parents are members, and Elder LaSara Bradley was down there. That was, you know, a long time ago, and preaching, and this fellow said he was just a young boy, and he said he never did forgive Brother Bradley because he was the only man in the house that had water, and he wouldn't give him some of it. You need water when you're thirsty. The landscape needs water. Came up a little shower rain. This afternoon we were in Walmart before we went to Brother Stewart's house, and you know, mentioned being thankful for the rain, and lady there said that she went from June to September not having a rain in her house last year. And I remember it being very dry up here. I remember your daddy calling and asking us to pray because there was a fire raging in the community, and it was terribly dry at home as well. Plants can't live without water. Nothing else can live without water. So having a need of water is a real need. But I'm telling you that there's a man that can provide that need of water, that he is like a river of water in a dry place. And this man I'm talking about, he is the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. I don't know. I expect a lot of you have been out working maybe in a field, working on a construction site or somewhere where the heat of the day was just bearing down on you. And the sun was bearing down on you. you know, we're not designed to take a whole lot of that either. We'll get dehydrated pretty quickly in that kind of environment. We will overheat in that kind of an environment without some protection from this heat of the day. But I tell you, if you're out in the field and you can get to a shade for a few minutes, what a refreshing experience that is. Even if you're out in the field working and a cloud will come over, and you just feel a little bit of the natural shade from a cloud, it can sometimes give you enough energy to keep going and maybe finish the row out. Well, I'm here to talk to you about a man that is as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Matters not how weary you might be made by the sun. It doesn't matter how weary you might be made by the toils and cares of life. It doesn't matter how weary you may become from the disappointments of life. Whatever it is that makes you weary, there's a man that is as a shadow of a great rock in that weary land. And he can be there for you to provide relief from whatever it is that you suffer. Verse 1 is talking about the same fellow. I don't know why certain things interest me, but if I see something about the British royal family, a lot of times I'll read it. Now, not that gossipy stuff, but about something that's actually going on. And I saw something about the Queen's daughter, Anne, the other day. At one time in her life, she was number 3 in line to be the Queen of England. Her mother, of course, was the Queen. Was to be the queen. She was first after King George. And then her brother, Prince Charles, was second. And she's third. Now she's 13th. This man I'm talking to you about, his place never has changed since before the foundation of the world. He never was in position number 1 and had to be shifted to position number 2. You think about poor old Harry. He loses a position every time William and Kate have a baby. He loses a position. I'm not sure he wants it anyway. But the man I'm telling you about never lost a step. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's a man. He was man because he was born of a woman. He was born of a virgin. The angel of the Lord went to the husband to whom Mary, this man's mother, was espoused, and he said to that man, "She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." This man, the king, the angel said he's your savior, and he still is. He saved his people from their sins. Bunch of shepherds out on a hillside one night. I don't know what they were doing. Besides watching sheep, that can be a big job, or sometimes it gets pretty easy to watch animals if they're not getting in anything. Might have just been sitting around and talking. I don't know what they were doing. But the Bible says, suddenly there appeared unto them a heavenly host, praising God and saying, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, I don't know what else he could have been other than a human being to have been born of the Virgin Mary. There never has been in the history of the world a woman who's given birth to anything but a human being that I know anything about. And the angel said, for unto you is born this babe. He was talking about, the angel was talking about a human being. This King of kings and Lord of lords, this Savior that I'm talking about is a man. He's a human. He was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost. A man. Now, we don't know a lot about his real early life. We know at age 12, this young man was in the temple with the doctors of the law, and he took the book and read and explained the scriptures, and they were amazed. The doctors and the teachers of the law were amazed at what he knew and what he could teach. He was showing at an early age himself a man. We need to know he's a man. You know, began to do miracles. First one we have record of was at the wedding feast of Canaan. They thought they were in a world of trouble. And you know, if you don't have what you need at a wedding, you think you're in trouble where you are or not. We have had two girls get married in the last 3 years, and the second one's a florist, and she did flowers herself for hers. But the first one, at about 2 hours before the wedding was supposed to be, the flowers had not arrived. And they tell me I wasn't on my best behavior about that, because you felt like there was something you needed. But these folks ran out of wine, and there was a man there they thought could help them. His mother suggested that. They went to him, and he made them wine. The wedding feast of Cana. Went down to John the Baptist to be baptized of John. What did John say about this man? Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And when he came up out of the water, when John baptized him, God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is a man. And he's the Son of God. And he's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's a worker of miracles. He heals people when he's in trouble. He established a kingdom. It says a king shall reign in righteousness and princes shall reign in judgment. I believe the Lord's church is reigning in the world today. It's this, the Lord's church. Y'all praying to the Lord, y'all going to make better decisions than the United States Supreme Court makes. And it's more important the decisions made by the Lord's church than it is what they make.
Amen.
This matters. But the king, the man, set up this kingdom. One man, born of a virgin, lived over yonder. Not a, you know, fairly simple life in many ways. But he set up a kingdom. And people all over this world, some in the kingdom, some trying to be, some just seeking it. But for 2,000 years, people have worshipped this man. They've sought to be like him. They've sought to worship him. They have sought his kingdom. He's a man. You know, I don't believe in boasting about what you do for your children. But I've said a lot of times that I believe if it came down to me or one of them, that I'd die for mine. And I believe I'm looking at men tonight who do that as well. And thank God for it. You're to be commended. This man was called on to do that. This man laid down his life for the sheep. He died at Calvary for his sheep, for his children. Now, he died on that cross. They didn't kill him. He willfully gave his life. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But he died. He could not have suffered and lived and gotten the job done. It took him dying on that cross. And no greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend. Now, there are other things I could talk about, but I need to move on. But I do want to mention one thing about this man to you. He's gone on and he's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. As Brother Harold mentioned in his prayer, pretty soon we're going to see him face to face. But his bride is here in this world still. They're either up walking around or wherever they are living, or their bodies are in a grave somewhere and their soul and spirit already in his presence. But he's not going to be satisfied until he gets the last little morsel that may be destroyed in the fire, to get that person, resurrect that body, gather up his bride from the four corners of the world and the earth, and take his bride home in through the portals of glory into the presence of God the Father on high. He's coming back for his bride. I tell people, when I talk Sister Jennifer and Mary and me, I got some help because I needed it. Went up to, well, up here, pretty close, over to Bremen, and got all them boxes of stuff, junk, whatever. Some of that stuff's still in them boxes. But anyway, I came, got her and her stuff, and took her home. I think that's what a man ought to do. That's where she needs to be, is a home. The Lord's coming back to get his bride and take her home. Man. Now this is what I want you to think about. We got a lot of problems in the world today. We have all these moral issues that are going on. You know, I worked with young folks a long time, still do some, but lying is accepted in a lot of our society. People don't have an idea that lying in itself is wrong. The only remorse that so many people have is if they get caught in a lie. And I tell you about what most of your neighbors think about fornication. What most people think is, as long as they're careful and there is no conception and there's no spread of disease, everything's fine. That's the morality of most of the USA today. I read the other day, there was a survey done. You know, I don't know how much stock you can put in surveys. There's some folks that, you know, it's got to be skewed, because there are very few surveys that have Sam Bowen's opinion in it, because I'm going to click that off button. But nevertheless, they'll do these surveys, and it said among evangelical, which is, you know, you want to think fairly conservative Christian people, among evangelicals in the country who were born since 1962, 47% of them said that so-called gay marriage was acceptable. Nothing wrong with it. Well, that's a pretty bleak state of affairs. And you know something? You could, I could, they're our children, our neighbors, people who work for us, our students, whatever. We can talk to them till we are blue in the face about how they ought to do better. And you're probably not going to convince them that they ought to do better. They can even be told that the Bible says it's wrong. That you're not going to convince them with that. The law won't do it. Your good counsel won't do it. Even if you talk about, and I believe in practical time of salvation, but there's more to it than keeping yourself out of the law, trouble with the law. But you can tell them that they will live a better life in this world if they'll stay away from these sins I've mentioned. And give them examples. You know, my life's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but there are things that I change. But if I had to choose all over, do it again, a lot of it I'd do the same way. You know, I'd want to choose a wife. I want to raise children. I'd want to go to meeting. You know, some of those kind of things. You tell people there's a benefit in that most of the time, in that good counsel there, they don't pay much attention. The situation that we are in today in this country is not that we need more law and more counseling and more instruction, though that might be helpful. But what people need is a man. We need this man that I'm talking to you about tonight. You see, the solution to our problems is for a child of God to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In my preaching, I don't preach on practical things nearly as much as I used to. I want people to see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and them see that their life can change if they can get closer to Jesus Christ. And be more like Jesus Christ. And worship Jesus Christ. And make Jesus Christ the center of their lives. And then these problems in their lives, a lot of them will be changed. Now I know and you know that I'm talking about children of God here. There are people out there that aren't children of God. And they're not going to have this understanding of Christ. But there are a lot of people out there that are in trouble. They're confused. They done been born again by the Spirit of God. But they need the person of Jesus Christ. They need to understand, we all do. We need to be reminded that He loved us enough to die for us. That He loved us enough that He's coming back for us. That He loved us enough to end this crazy world, that He's preserved this church. That He has been a hiding place for us. He's been a covert for us. He has been a river of water and a dry land for us. He has been the shadow of a mighty rock in a great land for us. And we ought to appreciate Him and love Him. And if we love Him, we can't even glory in that, because we love Him because He first loved us. It's about the man. Orthodox Christianity is about the Bible, that's true. It's about the church, that's true. It's about good moral living, that's true. But the very soul of our religion is a man. A God man. Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I recommend Him to you. And you men here today, you can go to a Christian bookstore, the self-help bookstore, get on the web, you find all kind of advice on how to be a man in today's world. Let me recommend again this man to you. If you want to be a man, just be like Jesus as much as you can. And you'll prove yourself a man. May God bless you.
Amen. What peace like God.